You're tuned into Highway Sermons with Sean Michaud.
But this is very important, folks, for you to understand these things. So many times when you share these things, people say, how come? Sometimes they've been saved for 30 years. They say, how come I've never been taught this or I've never seen this? And I don't know the answer for that. That, well, that certainly is one reason. But the truth is, a lot of people around the body of Christ are not teaching this. However, when we show you, and I'm going to go to the Word of God, obviously, I believe strongly in the Word of God, in case you haven't figured it out by now. I haven't put every verse that I can put on here, but since we have a little bit longer, maybe we'll go to some verses that we didn't write down. But the Word of God is absolutely important for us. It's amazing to me how many Christians who were born again by the Word of God don't have very much respect for the Word of God. They look to everything else, and then if nothing else works, then maybe they'll go and see. But anyway, let's go ahead and turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, and we're going to see the makeup of man, that man is a tripartite being. And sometimes people don't understand that. Sometimes they think that makes us three different individuals. We're not three different individuals. We're one unit. If you have three different individuals inside of you, come up to me after and we'll cast two of them out. We're not talking about three different individuals here. But how many of you know that the Godhead created us? There's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The best way to see this is if you turn to Matthew chapter 3 or Luke chapter 3. And Jesus being baptized and the Spirit of God came like a dove, was not a dove. Holy Spirit's not a dove. He doesn't have feathers. The reason I say that is because there's someone who was conning the body of Christ, and feathers would fall when she preached, and people were falling for it. There's the Holy Spirit, folks. The Holy Spirit's not a dove. Holy Spirit doesn't have feathers. Don't be conned by those things. Unfortunately, there are con people out there. But anyway, the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove, and the Father spoke out of heaven, saying, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. So there you see, there was three different beings, but yet they're all one. And this is not a message on the Trinity tonight, but one easy way to talk about the Trinity and to understand the Trinity is, did God create everything? So did God create time? Time is a Trinity. It's one, but made up of past, present, and future. You see that? So sometimes we don't understand and we can't wrap our minds around everything. And some people say, I can't understand that. I don't believe that. It doesn't make sense. But yet they believe in time and they all admit time is a trinity made up of past, present, and future. But we're not going to spend time on that tonight. But I just wanted to throw that out there. That we are a tripartite being, meaning that we come up and we're made of three different parts. But yet we're one. So let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. If you are there, and it says here, now may the God of peace, there it is again, the God of peace, himself sanctify you completely. Now who's the one doing the sanctifying? The God of peace, himself, sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this verse, we can go to many different verses, but this verse shows us that we are a spirit, a soul, and a body. Okay? We're all three of those things wrapped up into one. Now, we can go to the Word of God and I can show you different examples. When Jesus was giving the story, not a parable, folks, but a story of the rich man and Lazarus who died. And the rich man and Lazarus, when they both died, and they both opened their eyes in another realm. Now think about that. Their body was in the ground, but they opened their eyes and they were in another realm. Lazarus was in the comfort and paradise and what Abraham's bosom. The rich man was in the torments of hell. That's not comforting, but that's what it says. And what's very important is that the rich man said, "Please, Abraham, send Lazarus back from the dead to go warn my brothers and see if they will repent. Otherwise, they'll end up here as I am." And what did Abraham say? He said, "They have the word of God. If they will not believe the word of God, they will not believe even if someone were to come back from the dead." You know what that tells me? The word of God is more sure and more accurate than any type of experience that we can have, any type of manifestation. We need to put more faith in God's word than what we see with our physical eyes. And I'm coming to a point for this. Because sometimes when you teach this stuff, people say, "I don't believe what you say because I've never experienced what you say." But the word of God tells us differently. And so if we're going to start to walk in all the things that God has for us, we're going to have to believe those things the Bible says, even if we can't sense them with our physical senses. Amen. So we are a three-part being. Do you like the nice diagrams? Now, I don't know if you've noticed, but we're not actually three circles. Now, some of us are more round than others. That is true. This is just a diagram. This is not the way you actually look. But the spirit would be your innermost core. Okay? Everybody has a spirit. Even unbelievers. The difference is their spirit separated from God. So it's dead. Dead does not mean doesn't exist. Dead means separated. And so when we go to James, let's go ahead and go there. James, I want to show you this. James chapter 2, verse 26. Not in your notes, you can write it down. James 2:26 says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Now, this is not talking about works to save yourself. This is talking about when you believe, it produces action. So we're not going to talk about that tonight, but I want you to see, it says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead." So when your spirit leaves your body dies. So the spirit is the life-generating, life-giving part of you. When God breathed into Adam, he breathed into him the breath of life. And when Adam sinned, that spirit was separated from God's spirit. Didn't mean it didn't cease to exist. Just means it was separated. And we're going to see when we get into the next lesson next week on righteousness, and we're going to get into the fruit of the spirit, all of those things are related to what we're teaching tonight. But when you got born again, your spirit became joined back to the Lord. We're going to see that. Your spirit came alive. And so your spirit is the life-giving part of you. And then you have your soul. Then you have your body. The soul, many times people like to define it as your mind, your will, and your emotions, your personality, all those different types of things. Okay? And then your body. Now the truth is that every single one of you are very aware of two parts of you. Right now. Right now, you can tell if you're cold or you can tell if you're hot. You can tell if you're hungry. You can tell if you're full. You can tell if you're tired. You can tell if you're wide awake. Right? You also can tell whether or not you're happy or depressed. Now hopefully you're not depressed. But you know what? I can touch you physically. I can come over there and just touch you and you can feel that. Or I can say some very harsh, mean words and touch you in a different way. Or I can say some very nice words and touch you in a different way, but more in a positive way. And so we're very in touch with both of our body and our soul, even though we may not have ever really thought about it before. But there's one part of us that we're not necessarily in tune with, and that is the spirit part of us. And so that is why we have to go to the Word of God to see what the Word of God says about our spirit and what, as new covenant believers, as born again believers, we have to see what God shows us through His Word has happened to our spirit. Because you can't tell it with your physical senses. You can't tell it. You may sense it. On some days you may sense it more than others. How many of you have discovered that? Some days you feel a little more saved than other days, depending on what happened. Now, we don't have to live that way. We can start to learn to live according to the Word no matter what happens. But there's a learning process that takes place to where we put more faith in what the Word says versus what we see with our physical eyes and our circumstances. You know, the Bible says you're blessed. But what happens if you just lost your job today? You may not feel very blessed. You may feel very desperate. You may feel fearful, but you don't have to. Depends on what you're focusing on. And so here, we see that we're a three-part being. And what we need to see is that when we got born again, when we came to Christ, when the Spirit made us new, when you were born again, not of corruptible, but of incorruptible seed, by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever, we need to understand where that took place so that we don't become confused. Because so often, many people will say, how come I have this thought? I thought I was saved. How come this happened? How come I got sick? I thought God didn't want us sick. We have to understand where the new creation exists and where the power of God dwells so that we can learn how to tap into it and learn how to release it. So let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's look at verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Now, probably I should have gone ahead and instead of in the third part showing that our body's not saved and the soul's not saved, I probably should have put it right here, but I didn't. But we'll go ahead and we'll just go ahead and follow the outline. You guys can connect the dots. It'll be easy to do. We'll probably refer back to it. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone, didn't say some, it said anyone. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, how many of you are in Christ? Amen. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. This is very important that we understand and very important that we believe, because when we got saved, God did not just give us a paint job. And if you buy a house and someone else owned the home before you, you may say, as part of the conditions of me buying this home, I want you to put some new paint on the outside. I want you to put some new carpet on the inside. And this section over here, I want you to redo that. The roof is leaking. That needs to be repaired. And guess what? They can do all that work, but it's still the same house. Do you hear me? It might look better, but it's still the same house. And so a lot of Christians, that's what they believe happened when they came to Christ. Not much changed. They're still the same old person. Just maybe now they have a new coat of paint. What I want you to see here is that when the Bible says you're a new creation, it literally means a new species of being that did not exist before. So if you were a Volkswagen City Golf, you didn't just get new rims, a new stereo, nice tinted windows, and a new paint job, right? You were absolutely, totally transformed and totally recreated into a totally brand new, different model. Not even a Ferrari. There you go. A Ferrari would be great. Not even the same country. You're now a beautiful, brand new, bright red Ferrari made in Italy, not the City Golf. And so nobody would ever be able to tell you, wow, you were a City Golf. Now you're a Ferrari. And you say, yes, I have a very good mechanic. Very good. Very good. I have a very good, what you call that shop? We call it a body shop. Panel beaters. They won't believe you, will they? No, this is a totally brand new car that did not exist in your garage before. So when you got born again, you became a brand new creation. But you have to believe that. The problem is that when that happened, your soul did not become a brand new creation, and your body did not become a brand new creation. But let's read the rest of this verse first, and then I'll expound on that a little bit. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It didn't say some things. It said all old things have passed away. All things have become new. And it says, behold. In other words, this is some radical stuff. But behold, it's true. But I don't know about you, but when I looked in the mirror, I still looked the same. Right? I still had some of the same thoughts. Some of them were different. Okay? Some of them weren't. Some of them were the same. I used to drink and smoke and those things. Instantly, because my spirit was now joined to the Lord, I no longer desired those things. It doesn't happen exactly like that for every single person. But I discovered when I, back before I gave my life to Jesus, that every afternoon when I felt like a drink was actually I felt like getting saved, but I didn't know it. There was an emptiness there. So it's time to fill that emptiness. But I didn't know that's what I was doing. I didn't know. I thought it was beer 30. But when I gave my life to Christ, that void was filled, and I no longer had that desire for those things. Now, it doesn't happen exactly like that for every single person. That's why it's very important that when we preach and we teach someone and we explain things to people, that they, you know, if we make them think that this happens to everyone, we can be doing them a disservice. Because not everyone has the same exact experience. I've seen some people go to rehab, get born again in rehab, and go through that system. And they're as genuinely born again and genuinely free, but it happened in a different setting. I don't know why. Maybe they had a little, I don't know. But anyway, it says all things become new. But we know that in our body we didn't become new. We still look the same. Our soul didn't become new. We still thought the same in many ways. And I'm going to show you in a little while, a little bit later, probably the next session, that when the Bible talks about us, when we get before the Lord, and when this whole thing is finished, the only thing in us that doesn't need to be changed is our spirit. Right now, you have the same spirit you'll always have. When you got born again, you have the same spirit that you will always have throughout eternity. But we'll see in a little bit. But we've been promised that we will receive a glorified body. We don't have it yet. I don't know if you've noticed that, but we don't. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, because I want to move on. Ephesians chapter 4. Like I said, I can just sit here and talk. And I like talking, if you haven't figured it out by now. But in Ephesians chapter 4, and let's look at verse 24. It says, "And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." The new man here is the same as our new creation. And I want you to see is that that new creation was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, God's the one who did this, not us. And I don't think that God can make anything inferior. What do you think? As a matter of fact, God made your spirit. When we look at it, when we look at some more verses later, God made your spirit capable of housing Him. The Bible says that we are in Christ and Christ is in us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, if anyone is joined to the Lord, in other words, if any man be in Christ, if anyone's joined to the Lord, he's one spirit with Him. So God made your spirit capable of housing Himself. Now think about that. If God did that, then He made your spirit with such qualities that He's able to feel comfortable there. And again, just so there's no misunderstanding, I'm not suggesting that we are God. I'm suggesting, because the Bible says God lives in us. Understand, you know, because there's a lot of New Age teaching out there, and we're all divine. No, we have the divine one in us. There's a difference. Okay, we need Him. We're not independent of Him. See, if we were divine, we don't need Him. But since we have the divine one in Him, in us, we need Him desperately, every day. Amen. But what I want you to see is that God made your new man in true righteousness and holiness. So that suggests there's a false righteousness and a false holiness. You know what a true righteousness, a false righteousness is? We'll look at this next week. But it's whatever we do to present ourselves that makes it in our minds, makes us acceptable to God. It's what we are offering in our strength. Okay, God, here. Now you can bless me because I have all of these qualities I have produced. And that's what's so beautiful, because all of those things, if you look at it, in Isaiah chapter 64, the Bible says all of our righteousnesses, not our sins, all of our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. Wow. And I don't want to preach next week's sermon, so let's keep going. But you got to come. It's going to be awesome. So since God created us in true righteousness and holiness, and since He lives on the inside of us, He created a place for Himself where He can dwell comfortably. And since Jesus said He'll never leave us nor forsake us, and since our spirit was born again by the incorruptible seed, We need for our identity to be who we are in the spirit, not who we are in the flesh. And let me just say this. If you would start to focus on who you are in the spirit and what God has, how God has made you, how God sees you, instead of looking at all of your failures, I don't know if you are like me, but I have a lot of failures that if I were to focus on them, there's no way God could ever use me. You know, there's some people that come up to me and ask me to pray for them. You know why they do so? Because they don't know me. And they know themselves. And they're looking to all their inadequacies. They're saying, my hair's falling out. My belly's popping out. I got angry with my wife on the way here, or my children, or my husband, or whatever. And they're looking to who they are in the flesh, all of their failures. And they're so disappointed in themselves, they're certain that God's disappointed in them too. And so they don't have any confidence, so they want to go to me or someone else that they say, oh, you're a preacher, so obviously God, he listens to your prayers. Well, God doesn't listen to mine any more than he does yours. The difference is where your confidence is. I don't have any confidence in the flesh. I have learned a long time ago, God has never answered one prayer of mine based upon my righteousness. But everything based upon his righteousness. Amen. That's good news. So your identity needs to be who you are in the spirit. The place that God made, not what you made. See, what we can make is an Ishmael. What God can make is a child of promise. And it always takes a miracle. Something that you yourself can't do. I don't know if you noticed, but the Bible says in Romans 4 that Abraham's body was dead and Sarah's womb was dead. You know what that means? They could not do it in their strength, in their flesh. And that is when God came through with the child of promise. So nobody could ever say, wow, look what Abraham and Sarah did. They said, wow, look what God did. It's the same thing with our spirit. We can't do it. It took a miracle of the new birth. So your identity needs to be who you are in the spirit. Your new spirit is perfect. This sounds like blasphemy to a lot of people because a lot of what's been taught in the church is to feel badly about yourself. To grovel before God. Now folks, God knows every single one of your weaknesses more than you do. He knows all of your sins. He knows all of those things. And he chose you anyway. Not only that, but the Bible actually says you were adopted. You know what's so powerful about being adopted? Choice. See, you may say, oh, we didn't plan this child, but you can never say that with an adoption. And you know what you do when you adopt? You know full well what's wrong with this child, a lot of the most times, before you adopt them. That's why most people want an infant, not a young child, because they haven't been damaged yet in their terminology. But we were damaged and God knew it. And he said, oh, but I'm gonna fix them in their spirit. And when they get to find out who I am and how good I am and focus on what I have done, everything else about them is going to line up with that. Yeah. Folks, the Christian life, I get so tired of people saying how hard the Christian life is. As if it's a badge of honor. Folks, the Christian life is not hard, it's impossible. That's why Jesus lives on the inside of you. And when your focus is right, it's no longer you who lives, but he living in you. But you have to be crucified with Christ. not just positionally, but every day. Jesus, I am dead to myself. It is no longer I who live. It is you who live. Lord God, thank you for the people out there I'm going to meet today, and I'm going to reach, and I'm going to touch them with your goodness, with your love. You know, you have to get up every morning and say that, or you will go out and forget who you are. But when you do that, you go out, and all of a sudden you start noticing everybody needs ministry. Wow! And it becomes so easy because it's not you, it's the Jesus in you touching them. Your new spirit is perfect. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14 says, for by one offering, and guess what? You weren't the one who made this offering. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are sanctified or being sanctified. Now, that being sanctified throws some people off. It is not saying you're not quite there yet. That's not what it's saying. But there's a three-part to your salvation. One is already complete, your spirit. We will receive a glorified body. We are in the process of receiving a renewed mind as we submit to the Word of God. But the Bible says that when we do stand before God in our glorified body, we will then know even as we are known now. That's an amazing verse. Didn't say we will know what is made true at that point. It says we will know then even as we are known now. That's a powerful truth. So Hebrews chapter 10 says Jesus is the one, by his offering, he's the one who's perfected us. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, and let's look at verse 23. And we're just going to go jump right into the verse. I know it's in the midst of a statement here. But it says, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. In other words, your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Aren't you glad your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life? To God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Amen. Your spirit is perfect now. It is perfect forever. It doesn't need to be changed. Your new spirit is complete. Let's look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10. You see, if you start to believe this stuff, how can you be depressed? Colossians chapter 2 verse 10 says, and you are, not will be, you are complete in him. Now, what does this word complete mean? If you go look it up, it means literally, you are so full that it can't hold anything more. Like if you fill a cup and you get to that point where it's kind of, I don't know if you've seen it, kind of wobbling on top. It's about to spill over, but you caught it just right, so it's just there. One more drop and out it comes. So when this word says you are complete in him, it also is talking about perfect. You're complete. Nothing else needs to be added. Oh, but Sean, again, we're talking about your spirit. It can only make sense about that. The verse before says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. Jesus lives on the inside of you. Are you saying and suggesting that there's any inadequacies in Jesus? No. Where does Jesus live? Therefore, there's no inadequacies in your spirit. This is powerful stuff. Your new spirit is identical to Jesus. How's that? Because he made it that way. We didn't. He did, and he now lives there. Let's look at Galatians 5 and verse 6. It says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. These are the verses we can go to. Let's go ahead and move on. You have perfect faith. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. It says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, this version says, in the Son of God. But when you go to the original Greek, it says, I live by the faith of the Son of God. If you have the King James, put that there. Do you have the King James? Don't have it. Anyway, instead of faith in the Son of God, it says you have the faith of the Son of God. You live by the faith of the Son of God. Why? Jesus lives there. There it is. You live by the faith of the Son of God. Now, a lot of people have, they've translated it as faith in the Son of God. There's some people say, which one's right? Both. You've been given the faith of the Son of God, and we need to keep our faith in the Son of God in order to see that thing work. You have complete understanding. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. 1 John 2:20 says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. That's talking about the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. You know all things. You say, oh, no, Sean, I don't. Well, in your natural mind, you're right, you don't. But we have to believe that in our spirit, where Jesus lives, we have complete understanding. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 16. It says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Where is this mind? Jesus. Living on the inside of you. Well, so then how come I make so many mistakes? Because you're not taking advantage of it. You're using your natural thinking process. Without tapping into what's available to you. That's why we must renew our minds to the Word of God. We have to get into the Word of God and make sure that our minds and what we think is in unity with what God's Word says. And the bottom line is that majority of Christians, even in churches like this, aren't doing that. Or else we wouldn't be having a lot of the problems that we have. There would be no marriage problems if every single couple, and I'm including myself, were to live according to who they are in the Spirit and use and tap into the mind of Christ that is on the inside of them. But a lot of times we don't do it. We go through all of our things first, sometimes. And when that doesn't work out, then we give God a shot. We should forget all this stuff and go straight there. Amen. So let's go ahead and we'll take a break because we are now open. Amen. So during the break, my daughter noticed that I had three those cookies, and she said, what was that for? One for your spirit, one for your soul, one for your body? Amen. All right, so are we recording back there? We're going? All right, amen. Well, praise God, we're going to go ahead and start the second session. I need everyone's intercession for me to finish this, because I have a lot. We have a lot to cover here. We're coming down to our second main section here, and it says our spirit and body are not joined together. And a lot of people have never thought about this, but your spirit and your body are not directly linked together. And so there's no connection between the physical world and the spiritual world except the soul. Now, when we start to look at later on, in next lessons or so, we start looking at the gifts of the Spirit, I'll start to show how that works a little bit. But here we have another diagram. We have the Spirit, we have the soul and the body, and as you see, it's the soul that connects both parts. Okay, now some of you may say, well, what does this mean? Well, we're just going to go ahead and keep going. I think you'll pick up on it as we keep going. But the second section here says the heart is a combination of the spirit and soul. And that's very important to understand, because when you see certain verses, it says that God, he said that he'd give you a new heart. And he put a new spirit within you. And then when you go to other verses and it says, cleanse your hearts, you double-minded. Wait, Sean, I thought you just said that our heart is perfect, our spirit's perfect. Well, that will bring confusion unless we understand that the heart, when the Bible talks about the heart, it's talking about the hidden person, our hidden person, the what you can't see with the physical eyes, but yet we know is there. And so the heart is a combination of the spirit and the soul. Now the flesh, when the Bible talks about the flesh is a combination of the soul and the body. Did you hear that? Heart, combination of the spirit and the soul. Flesh, combination of soul and body. And so when you look at either way, the soul is the key factor to either victory or defeat in this life. Now, since your spirit has been recreated, and it's been created new, and it's been created to be just like Jesus, and it's created perfect, it's created complete, there's nothing wrong with your spirit. But there's something wrong a lot of times with the way that we think. We still think the same old way. Or another way to put it is stinking thinking. I think I heard Pastor Steve say that before. Stinking thinking. Wrong ways of thinking. How many of you have ever met someone where it was so obviously clear that their problem was the way they thought, but they couldn't see it? Just the way they think. The Bible says it this way in Proverbs. I think it's chapter 29 somewhere. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Thinks in his heart. Now we're going to go to some verses here and I'm going to show you. But it says in let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3, and I want to show a verse here that kind of shows us about this. But 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. Let's look at verse 3 to start. Says, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Now, I'll put this verse here just to show that it's the hidden person of the heart. It's the part that we can't see with our physical eyes. And so we can't see our souls with our physical eyes, but we can touch each other's souls with the words that we say to each other. We can touch each other's bodies with our hands. Right? And so originally, so if you see this diagram, the spirit and soul is shaded there. So that kind of gives you the little diagram there. Again, this is not what it looks like. It's just to help you to understand. But the shaded part is the spirit and soul make up the heart. This will help you so much that when you see those verses that talk about cleansing your heart, I thought it was clean. It's not talking about your spirit, it's talking about your soul. It'll help you. It'll get rid of the confusion. So originally, the way God created it, your spirit and soul work together. Okay, there was no unrenewed mind. There was no death in the soul when God created Adam and Eve. And if we have time, I'll show you some things that's going to be so exciting when we receive our glorified body, but I may not have time, so I don't want to go there just now. But let's go ahead and get through this part here, because pretty much I'm explaining these diagrams. Our next point, letter D, is the mind is the valve. Again, your mind doesn't look like this. This is just so that you can understand. Everyone understands a valve or a tap. You can have all the water on the other side of the pipe, but until you turn the tap, no water's coming out. Did you hear that? So even if you're born again, you can have the same power that raised Christ from the dead living on the inside of you. That's what it says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. But if the valve is closed, the power is not flowing. I'm telling you from personal experience, based upon the Word of God, that when we get our mind renewed and in line with the Word of God, to where we are agreeing with what God says, we start opening the valve, and that truth of what God has done on the inside of us starts to flow. It's true. I can give you a personal example in the area of healing. When I got born again, I was so excited. I wasn't looking to myself. I was seeing people healed. I didn't know I couldn't do it. Some of you understand what I'm talking about. The Bible said, lay hands on the sick and boom. And I saw it. Boom. And then I started discovering that I wasn't such a great Christian. And I started to look to myself as to all the reasons why God could or could not flow through me. And I stopped seeing the power of God released. What changed? The valve. I closed the valve. God didn't. The devil didn't. I did. Because I believed his lies and I turned it myself. Folks, the devil can't make you do anything. The devil can only do in our lives what we allow him to do. Now, I'm not talking about certain circumstances and situations. I'm not talking about if you're a child or a child is abused, that they allowed that. That's not what I'm talking about. Understand, I can't explain every single situation here. But every time we're discouraged, every time we're depressed, every time we're defeated, we agree to that. Amen. So your mind is the valve. You have the spirit on one side, the soul and the mind, there it is, the valve and the body. Let's go to one verse real quick. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. It's not on your notes. Romans chapter 8. I just want to show you this. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. It says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Now, if you're born again, the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is in you. But Sean, I don't feel it. Well, that's what we're getting into. There's no connection between the spirit and the body except the soul. You're not going to necessarily feel it. There are times when you may feel it, but we can't go based on what we feel. If we go based on what we feel, we will see very little truth operating in our life. As a matter of fact, some of the greatest miracles I've ever seen, I felt nothing. And the whole time the devil's telling me, nothing's happening. But yet, those people got healed. I mean, I can just tell you, miracle, testimony after testimony. I don't have time for it. Seen people healed of tumors. People healed of cancer. People with broken bones. Who couldn't even walk. Prayed for them. You know what I discovered a long time ago? The anointing is not for me, it's for them. The anointing is to minister to people. It is not for me to sit home and feel spiritual. The anointing is to destroy yokes of bondage of the devil. So you don't need to feel it. You just need to release it. So many testimonies, folks. One time I was in Russia. It's a guy in a rehab Bible school. They had a rehab Bible school there. Guys that came off of rehab, they went into Bible school. I went there and I preached. I preached 6 straight hours. I preached the first half, the importance of the Word of God. I preached the second half, God's plan for healing, the foundation of healing. And then when I finished, I said, everyone, whoever comes up here right now is going to get healed. He said, how could you say that, Sean? Because I believe the Word. I'm not going to heal them. The Bible said they were going to be healed. I said, whoever comes up here is going to be healed. One guy ran up, pushed everyone out of the way, and he got himself up to me right now, right first. So what's wrong with you? He said, I've destroyed all of the veins by shooting up heroin to the veins in my groin. It's been that way for 10 years. People have prayed for me for 10 years because he's been a Christian. He'd been Christian for 10 years, but he suffered for 10 years with these veins in his groin, dead, black, full of scar tissue. It pained him. They were infected. They were infected just right then. And I said, okay, and I prayed for him. And I didn't feel anything personally with my physical senses, but I believed God, and I prayed for him, and he ran out of that room and went to the bathroom, the restroom. And I kept praying for other people. And the whole time I'm praying for him, the devil's saying, nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. You're going to look foolish. And he comes running back in. And he starts screaming. Doldom! Doldom! Russian for asylum. And I, asylum, like mental asylum. And I'm thinking, Jesus? The meeting is either on or it's over. And I don't know if you've noticed, but I don't care what country you're in, but drug addicts, those who've been set free from drugs, are not the most smooth characters in the world. These were rough people. This was not a nice looking guy. Matter of fact, he's on my website, The Testimony. You can watch it. He's saying, doldom, doldom, which means this is insane. This is insane. I said, what? He said, just because we had 2 sessions, one the Word, one healing. I said, during that session, I ran to the bathroom before you taught on healing. And I was injecting antibiotics directly into the veins because I was in so much pain. And when you prayed for me, I knew because you preached the Word, that because the Word went forth, and I had put my faith in what the Word said about this, that I was going to be healed. So now I went to the bathroom to check. He said, not only are my veins healed, there's no scar tissue anymore either. So he got brand new veins. And I didn't feel anything. So are you telling me you have to feel it? But you know what? Don't you ever close that valve. The devil is always after your valve. That's where he attacks you. I don't have time to go there, but if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, or 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and it talks about, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to pulling down strongholds. Most people are doing warfare, pulled down the strongholds over Durban. How come the strongholds are still there? Because when you go to the Bible, those strongholds, when you look at it, it's taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and every high thing and every argument. It's the thought processes that are blocking what God wants to do in our lives and everyone else's lives. So the devil is attacking you in the area and the arena of your mind to get you to turn your valve closed through doubt and unbelief. And believing more in what the natural senses say and more in what this world says than what God says. So one of the most difficult things you'll ever do is stop going and living your life based upon your natural senses. Now, folks, when you're driving your car, use your natural senses. Not saying don't do that, okay? Not saying go through life with your eyes closed. That's not what I'm saying. Stick your hand on the stove, pull it off. Okay? But we're talking about believing what God says and stop contradicting what the Word says based on our experiences. Prime example. The utility bill comes in. Oh my Lord, how am I going to pay that? Or how come it keeps going up every month? Anyone ever had that conversation? I started to recognize that that is disagreeing with God. Oh, but brother, that's just, come on, that's just reality. I didn't say it wasn't real. But there's a greater truth that's more real. And that's God's kingdom. And God's ability. And what God has done inside of you. So your mind is the valve and the devil attacks us in the area of the valve. Let's move on. John chapter 3, verse 3 through 8. We're going to look at what Jesus has to say. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 8. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now, this is just saying he who's born of the flesh and he who's born of the Spirit. Natural birth, spirit birth. That's all it's saying. It's not talking about water baptism. Some people have mixed that up. You know, I don't know if you've noticed this, but when a woman gives birth, the water breaks. Okay, I think that's what he's referring to. How? Let's keep reading and you'll see. Verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So I think he expounds what he meant there. But notice he says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Now, folks, I don't know if you've noticed this, but you still have flesh. You still have a body. Okay? But if you're born again, even if you're not born again, but if you're born again especially, you have a spirit birth. That was a miracle from God. And so when you were born again, God took out your old sin nature and put in His nature. Yeah. Romans chapter 5 discusses that in great detail. We're not going there tonight. We'll go there later. Okay? And so we need to look at this. You cannot contact the Spirit except through the Word. In other words, you can't understand the spirit realm apart from the Word of God. That's why it's very dangerous when people start reading all sorts of things to figure out the spirit realm. Folks, this is our authority right here. Jesus quoted the Old Testament. The apostles quoted what's in here. So many people are running after all different kind of books and all different kind of things, but Jesus never quoted them. He never referred to them. The apostles never quoted them. He never referred to those. Folks, don't run after anything else. This is all you need. Be satisfied with the written Word of God. Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And you have that Word now living on the inside of you. So when you read this, you're discovering who you are. John 3, 6 says, that which is flesh is flesh, that which is spirit is spirit. Let's turn to John 6, 63. John 6, 63 says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Now, there's some temptation people have that when Jesus taught, they weren't yet born again. So he wasn't talking to us. Folks, Jesus said repeatedly, the things I say to you now, you can't understand. But the Spirit is going to come and he's going to remind you all things that I taught you. And so after they were born again, then they remembered. Wow, Jesus said this. Remember how Jesus said? Folks, Jesus was speaking to us. The flesh profits nothing. I don't know if you've discovered this, but the flesh profits nothing. Jesus said the Spirit is what gives life. And the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So if you want to find out who you are in the Spirit, you have to go to the Word. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians 2, 14. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. It says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. This is not talking about an unbeliever. This is talking about the natural mind, the natural man. You have to receive revelation by the Spirit of God. You have to believe what the Bible says. Yes, obviously, someone who's not born again is a natural man. But actually, if you go to the Greek, the natural there, that's actually a not very good translation that they did in the English. It's actually a soulish man. He who is in tune with this world. The soulish man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So the Word of God is spiritually discerned. That is why when you go to same chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 says, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God, because right before then it said, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard what has entered into the heart of man, nor have entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. And then He says, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And so all of these things are spiritually discerned. And then the verse that we looked at in last session, verse 16 says, but we have the mind of Christ. This is all related here. You have to believe that you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you and that God is speaking to you when you read the Word. Now, I shouldn't have to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. The Holy Spirit who gave this Word will never contradict Himself. So many times people say, the Holy Spirit told me. Say, the Holy Spirit could not have told you that. Oh, but brother, don't you tell me that. I know what the Holy Spirit told me. No, the Holy Spirit didn't tell you that. How can you be so dogmatic? Because the Holy Spirit would never say commit adultery. Preacher, I'm not going to give the name, preaching in his church. And he says the Holy Spirit singled out a woman in the congregation and said, leave your wife and marry that one. Your wife is holding you back. You know what told him that? His eyes. Woohoo, she's looking better than my wife. His eyes told him that, and he blamed God for it. Can you say amen? Be honest. Why would the Holy Spirit say that when the Bible says those things are wrong? And just in case you haven't learned this or you don't know this, Grace has not made that which used to be sin now okay. What was wrong before is wrong now. Amen. Sometimes you need to say that because some people get a little off base. Holy Spirit will never contradict himself. He'll never contradict the word because the Holy Spirit gave the word. And God never changes and he doesn't lie. That would make the Holy Spirit a liar if he says something that's different than this. You know what the truth is? We need to understand and we need to believe that we as human beings can hear the wrong thing, can think the wrong thing, and can be deceived. So that's why we go to the Word of God, because this will never deceive us. It never changes. Every time I read it, it says the same thing. Now I may get new things out of it, but it says the same thing. It never changes. I've never gone to John 3:16 and one time it said, God hates you. Oh, today God hates me. It says so right here in the Word. No, every time it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. I believe in you, so that means I'm not perishing. It's a lie from the devil. Sometimes he'll tell you, you're not going to make it. That's a lie. If he tells you, you're not going to make it, it's because he knows you're going to make it. He's wanting you to close your valve. Let's go look at James chapter 1. Verses 23 through 25. We've got to blow through this. Let's go. You ready? I'm gonna speak very quickly, so listen quickly. James 1, 23. Says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, talking about the Word of God, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. In other words, you're seeing what it says, you're believing what it says, and you're living your life accordingly. But we have to be consistently and continually in it, because it never changes. But our feelings change. Sometimes I wake up and I just don't feel like it. So what you got to do? What do you have to do? Go into the Word. It doesn't matter what I feel. This says, this is what's there. So I'm going to act upon that, and we're going to see things work. I can give an example, but we're running out of time. I think I gave that example before about the lady at Pavilion. She was begging for food, asking for food, and we walked in. And she says, pardon me, sir, but you could please get us some food. And I did not want to deal with that at that point. Had a very hard day. I just wanted to get what I needed to get at Checkers and leave. I know you've never had those days, have you? So I walk into Checkers and I basically told her, I walk into Checkers and I'm walking through there. And folks, I'm in a bad mood. Guess what? God didn't care. He said, I felt God speaking to me. I felt like God said, and I was agreeing with him, I don't care how you feel. I want you to minister to that lady. You have what she needs. And it wasn't food. So I said, okay, praise God. It doesn't matter how I feel. I have the same power that raised Christ from the dead living on the inside of me. It's according to God's grace, not according to my goodness. It's according to his goodness. And praise God, we're going to minister to that lady. And so I bought some food. I went back out to her, gave her the food. I was still tempted to say, now here's some food, be warmed and filled and leave. But God wouldn't let me do that. So I started sharing the gospel with her. Have you ever heard of who Jesus is and what he's done for you? So I just shared the gospel with her. She had asthma. We prayed for her and she got healed. Right in the middle of my bad mood. It If any of you have any religion left, I hope it's destroying it. Now, by that time, I was catching up. My feelings were catching up to God's joy. And I was happy by that time. But I didn't want to do it. Folks, I'm a human. I get tired just like anyone else. It has nothing to do with how you feel. I knew, even though I didn't feel it, I had the power that raised Christ from the dead living on the inside of me. And God wanted me to use that to touch someone's life. So I opened the valve and let God do it. Hello. I could have closed the valve and just went home. So God's word is a perfect representation of who you are in the spirit. 1 Peter 1:23, we know that. For you were born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. Folks, you were born again with incorruptible seed. Your spirit is incorruptible. Now there's a whole lot of stuff that we can look at. I don't have time for it. So you're saying that I can just go live in sin and live carnally and nothing will, it won't affect me? Nope, that's not what I'm saying. I would say this though, why do you want to? If you're born again, you should have a new nature on the inside of you and you should desire to live holy. I didn't say that you may be doing it perfectly. You desire to walk with God and not live like that. How many of you desire to live holy? Raise your hand. I didn't say how many of you desire to be holy. You're already holy in Christ. But how many of you want to live out what God has put on inside of you? Raise your hand. How many of you feel you're doing it perfectly? Now, nobody should raise your hand. Except for Pastor Steve. I saw him raise his hand. Folks, you know why you had that desire on the inside of you? Because of that incorruptible seeds there. It is one. You see, an apple tree cannot help but want to produce apples. It's not struggling to not produce oranges. And we're going to look at that in the fruit of the spirit lesson. Second Corinthians 5, 16, 17, and 18. Look that up later. But that simply, it has nothing to do with who we are in the flesh. Let's go ahead and read that. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Wow. For even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, is going right now, we don't deal with people based on who they are in the flesh. Yes, we don't ignore, but we look at them the way God looks at them. If they're born again, we feed them and we teach them based on who they are in the spirit, not who they are in the flesh. Because if you teach them based on who they are in the flesh, they'll keep living in the flesh. But if you teach them who they are in the spirit, all of a sudden, boom, one day it just poof, and they'll start running with it. Don't tell me it doesn't work. I've proven it on many different continents and many different languages. The gospel works everywhere. All right. Your body is not saved. We do not have a glorified body right now. Romans 8:23. Quickly, do you have that? Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit. It's talking about your spirit. You have the first fruits. What do you already have? Your spirit is joined to the Lord. Your spirit is perfect. Not only that, but we who all have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves grown within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. So here we see our body has not yet been redeemed. It's been purchased, but not yet redeemed. So what does that mean, Sean? Well, it's sort of like if you receive a coupon for a free pizza. You have it in your wallet, but you hadn't gone and got the pizza yet. But you're going to redeem that coupon one day, right? So it's been purchased. It is ours. It's a promise, but it's for the appointed time. And no amount of believing and no amount of faith, you're not going to get your glorified body now. Now, I could teach on that. I can prove that from Scripture. We don't have time. But in Philippians chapter 3 and 20 and 21, it says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he's able to subdue all things to himself. When is that going to happen? When Jesus comes for us. Amen. Do you see that? Until then, we have a lowly body. And one day, if the Lord doesn't return for us, this body's going to die. But my spirit's going to go be with Jesus immediately. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to live 1,000 years on this earth in this body. I don't. I'm going to do my time and turn it over to the next generation. That's what Paul did. That's what Jesus did. And that's the way it is. Amen. We can go to more verses. Let's move on. Your soul's not saved. James 1:21 says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Now, he's talking to believers here. Receive with meekness. We already talked about what meekness means. Not going to go there again. The implanted word. The word has to be planted in your heart. Which part of your heart? The soul part of your heart, which is able to save or renew your mind or transform your mind or open that valve, save your souls. Can you see this? When we receive the word and we believe what the word says, we open that valve up. Amen. Romans 12:2, we know that verse. Pastor Steve did a message on that. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. That transformed is the same word we get, metamorphosis. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That renewing word there in the Greek means to be changed from one state to a completely new state. Amen. How do we do that? Through the implanted word. And this is not the way you plant it. You have to get in this. You have to read it. You have to believe you're planting seeds. There's just something different that happens when you believe you're planting seeds and then the other times when you're just reading for the sake of reading. But when you know you're planting seeds, your attitude's totally different. You're watchful. You're anticipating. I don't know what it is about God, but he loves it when we anticipate. He loves it when we believe it. I'm going to go to another verse real quick. Right here, to base it on this verse, right, the soul is not saved part. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the great love chapter. Verse 9 says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. In other words, we don't know everything yet. We have a limitation. It's called our soul. Hasn't been changed yet. Now we can renew it, right? And we can agree with God and see God work in our lives. But right now it says we know in part and we prophesy in part. In other words, we have to keep in the presence of God. Otherwise, I don't know if you've noticed, but if you don't keep in the presence of God and keep in the word and keep your relationship with God current, I know we're not talking about being born again here, but if you don't keep your relationship with God current, you'll fall behind real quickly. It says verse 10, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. What is it talking about? When that which is perfect has come. It's talking about our glorified body. Because right now in this body, we know in part and we prophesy in part. How do we know that? We keep reading and he expounds what he means by there. Means by that. But verse 12 says, but for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. When is then? When Jesus comes back and transforms our lowly body into his glorious body. So now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known, not will be known. Do you see this? Then I will know just as God knows me right now. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. When God sees you, he sees you according to what he did in your spirit. That doesn't mean he's blind to our mistakes. It just means he's not imputing them to us, and he wants to help us. We got to turn to him. So the key is renewing your mind. Through renewing your mind, it releases what is on the inside of you. When you renew your mind, it's not when you get something. When you renew your mind, you discover who you are and you release what you have. Amos 3:3 says, "How can two walk together unless they are agreed?" So when your soul becomes into agreement with your spirit, which is already in agreement with God, you're walking together. And you're seeing the fruit of what God showed in his word being released and demonstrated in your life. That is why I went to that one verse in Romans 8:11 says, But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. When you get healed, it is not that God stretched forth his finger from heaven down and touched you. You actually got to where you agreed with God and you released that power that is on the inside of you into your flesh. Why is that good news? Because if it hasn't been released yet, there's a potential it may not be. But if it's already there, if you know there's water in the pipe, but when you turn the valve, nothing's coming out, you're not going to call the water company and say, "What's going on?" You're going to look at your valve. Because so often we've been saying, "God, what's wrong? Why haven't you done this?" And you get silence from heaven because he's already given it. But when you recognize it's the valve that's the problem, you can start attacking that thing with the truth of the Word of God to get all the corrosion off, get all the calcium buildup, whatever it is, get a brand new tap, a brand new valve, a brand new way of thinking, so that you can see the truth of the water of the Word, which is in your spirit, the power that is in your spirit, be released into your body, not only to you, but to others as you touch them. And it has nothing to do with whether or not you feel it with your physical senses. But Sean, I don't know. I don't have the same power that raised Christ from the dead. If I did, I would feel it. No, you would not. According to what we just saw, that which is flesh is flesh, that which is spirit is spirit. We put way too much emphasis on what we feel. Your mind can release the life of God into your life, or it can constrain it. You can experience heaven right here on earth as much as you'll renew your mind. Folks, this is good news. Good news. Good news. Again, God's not the problem. That's good news, because if God was the problem, then we have to work on God. But if the problem is us, and since God loves us so much, and since God said, if he's given you this, he'll also freely give you the kingdom, Jesus said, fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We'll know that God's a good God, and all we need to do is get to the place where we start to agree with what he says, and we'll start to see the results that God says that he wants for us, and we'll start living according to what the Word says. By nature. Amen. God bless you.